ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ದಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಕೈತವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಂ ಸತಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರಃ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದಿ ಅವರುಧ್ಯತೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿರ್ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತತ್ಕ್ಷಣಾತ್. ಸೊ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಕೈತವು, ಸೊ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಕೈತವ, ಕೈತವ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಚೀಟಿಂಗ್ ರಿಲಿಜನ್, ಕೈತವ ಧರ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಚೀಟಿಂಗ್ ರಿಲಿಜನ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ರಿಜೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ದಿಸ್ ಚೀಟಿಂಗ್ ರಿಲಿಜನ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಜೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ರಿಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಚೀಟಿಂಗ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಮೋಟಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ರಿಲಿಜನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಅಲಾಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಸೊ ರಿಲಿಜನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದಿ ಫೋರ್ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್: ಧರ್ಮ, ಅರ್ಥ, ಕಾಮ, ಮೋಕ್ಷ. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಡೂ ಸಮ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಅರ್ಥ. ಅರ್ಥ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎಕನಾಮಿಕ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ಮನಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಗೆಟ್ ದಟ್ ಅರ್ಥ ಟು ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ ದೇರ್ ಕಾಮ, ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಟರಿ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಫ್ರಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಅಟೆಂಪ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಫ್ರಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಕಾಮ, ದೆನ್ ದೇ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ, ರೈಟ್? ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್, ಇಂಪರ್ಸನಲ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್, ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೌ ಜನರಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಗೋಸ್. ಆಹಾರ ನಿದ್ರಾ ಭಯಮೈತುಂಚ ಸಮನ್ವಯೇತ ಪಶುಭಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಧರ್ಮೋ ಹಿತೇಶ ಅಧಿಕೋ ವಿಶೇಷೋ ಧರ್ಮೇನ ಹೀನ ಪಶುಭಿ ಸಮಾನ. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಎನ್ ಅನಿಮಲ್, ರೈಟ್? ಸೊ ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಧರ್ಮ? ದಟ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಷನರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಟು ಎ higher realm. If he is just sticking to dharma for artha and for kama, that is not considered the best dharma, right? So the dharma has to be paro dharma. It has to be taking the living entity from this material realm to the spiritual realm, then it is worth. That kind of dharma one has to perform. But there are so many other dharmas, cheating religions, which are materially motivated religions. In this Bhagavatam, such dharmas are rejected. Dharma projita kaitava means that materially motivated religions which direct the practitioner to some substandard results, they are completely rejected. That includes not only this regular religious practices to get economic development, that also includes this process of jnana, yoga. They also cannot give the highest realizations. Karma is definitely rejected, right? Jnana and yoga are also rejected here, right? They cannot, they can at the max take you to Brahman realization or Paramatma realization. They cannot give you Bhagavan realization. But in this Bhagavatam, that kind of dharmas are not described. Only paro dharma is described, right? Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radhokshade. That dharma which can give you love of Godhead, that dharma is described in this Bhagavatam. Like the dharma projita kaitava. Atra means here, in this book. Paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Paramo means it propounds the highest truth. Right? So highest truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Who can understand this? Vedyam means understandable. To whom? Nirmatsaranam satam. Devotees who are completely devoid of envy, no matsara. So such people can understand this dharma, this Bhagavatam. So that is nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Then vastavam atra vastu shivadam. So in this book, atra means in this book, again vastavam vastu, the actual substance is described. Shivadam, for the auspiciousness of everyone. Then tapatrayon moolanam, it can completely remove the threefold miseries. ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತೆ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೆ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪೈಲ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸೇಜ್ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್. ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈರ್, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಬುಕ್? ಬೈ ದಿಸ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೇಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಬುಕ್? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದಿ ಅವರುಧ್ಯತೆ. ಸೊ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಅತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತತ್ಕ್ಷಣಾತ್. So if one takes shelter of the sound vibration of Bhagavatam, one dedicates himself to submissive, surrendered hearing process, then Lord will manifest in his heart. So because this Bhagavatam is giving God realization to the reader, that is why there is no other book which can match this book. So no other book is needed. Kim va paraihi. So this is the meaning of the verse. So now we'll go into more details. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the lower stages of civilization, there is always competition to lord over the material nature. So why will the living entity come into this material world? To lord over the material nature, to exercise one's own controllership. In the Rudra Gita purports, Prabhupada writes, a mother is cooking for the child, to feed the child, and the child is so adamant that he also wants to cook. Maybe a 2, 3, or 4 year old boy, he wants to imitate the mother in cooking. So he says, I also want to cook. But mother knows, this fellow cannot cook. He will burn his hands. He doesn't know how to cut sabji. He may cut his hands. Right? Mother is not allowing the child. But the child is so adamant, I want to cook. Then mother gives him some toy utensils, toy sabji, toy knife. Right? So you start cooking. Right? Toy ingredients, toy masala, whatever. So the child is starting cooking. 2, 3, 4 hours he just plays, right? He imitates mother in cooking. So after some time the child comes back and then says, mother, I'm hungry. Give me food. Give me prasad. Then he says, you have cooked. Why can't you eat it? Now that is all. Play only. I want real food. Then mother is actually waiting. When will the child come to me to accept this real food? Similarly, the soul also wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. So he is sent to this material world. You want to be the controller? You can't accept me as the controller. You can't accept me as the enjoyer. Go to material world. Exercise your controllership. Try if you can enjoy separately from me. So Lord sends him to the material world. So in the material world, he artificially tries to lord over this material nature and control this material nature. And once he fails in his attempts to control this material nature, then he diverts himself towards spirituality if he gets proper guidance of devotees. Right? So in the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord over this material nature. Now condition, this material world is filled with so many conditioned souls who are trying to lord over this material nature, and there is competition amongst them. For example, two children are playing. So one fellow is cooking, another fellow is also cooking. With toy utensils, toy subjects, and there is a competition between them. What they are doing itself is useless activity, and there is a competition in that useless activity. So material world is like that. It is filled with conditioned souls who want to lord over this material nature, and there is a competition amongst them. Who can lord over better? Right? So what they are doing is totally against the nature, the innate nature of the soul, spirit soul. But there is a competition in doing that also. Who can ruin the soul more? Right? Who can spend more time in this material world? Who can transmigrate from one body to another body for a longer time? That is the competition here. So, there is a lot of competition. So, or in other words, there is continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. So, Rudra Gita purports, Prabhupada also gives. The competition between the human beings is like competition between the bees. Bees go to collect honey from various flowers, and then they collect the honey and then put in beehive. They store it. And when they actually try to enjoy it, there is a fight between the bees. Right? Similarly, the living entity also collects lot of money and then so many objects for sense gratification and then stores at one place. And when he tries to enjoy them, there is competition. For example, a person is there, he may earn a lot of wealth and then store it at one place. Right? When he is actually about to enjoy, so many relatives will come and then try to capture it. The government people will come, tax him. Right? And other nations may, if it is in a larger scale, it's a bigger community, other community may come and then attack them. If it's a bigger nation, other nation may attack. So there is a lot of attempt to enjoy and lord over this material nature, and there is a lot of failure in that attempts also. Still, people are not coming to senses like that. So, this, all this, even if someone is getting into religiosity, that religiosity is mainly directed towards getting material gain, artha, which is meant to satisfy their sense gratification desires, kama. And when they are frustrated, then they will think of salvation, merging into the absolute. So that is explained by Prabhupada in this second paragraph. So this Bhagavatam is not meant for such people who are just competing with each other for sense gratification. This Bhagavatam is beyond that competitive sense gratificatory mentality. Right? No competition. So one has to rise above that competition. Only devotees rise above such competition. Right? They are non-envious and pure in heart. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. It is understandable by devotees who are nirmatsaranam, totally non-envious. There are different levels of non-enviousness. So, for example, somebody is not envious of another person. Although he is successful, he is not very much bothered about it. Although another person is attaining more success, this person is not feeling so much insecurity in his heart, he is not envious. That is at one level. Second level is, this person is truly the well-wisher of other persons. Right? That is second level of non-enviousness. Third level is, they strive to establish a competitionless society with God in the center. That is the topmost level of non-enviousness. I am just reading from Prabhupada's purport. First level is free from material envy. Second level is well-wishers to everyone. Third level is strive to establish a competitionless society. So envy means competition. Right? So coming out of that envy needs a mentality of celebrating other success. We have a seminar on celebrating other success. When someone else is progressing, what is the feeling that is appearing in my heart? Am I joyful? Am I celebrating his success? Or am I feeling insecure and envious of his success? Indra felt insecure and envious of Prithumaras when he is getting successful. Right? And in Chaitanya Charitamrita we see so many devotees. Mahaprabhu would appreciate a devotee in front of many other devotees. And other devotees say, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So Mahaprabhu is kind of testing them also. They are feeling happy to see the mercy that this devotee is receiving. Right? So one has to celebrate other success. One has to be non-envious. To the extent one is non-envious, to that extent he can understand Bhagavatam. Because this scripture is meant to be understandable by non-envious people. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Right? So we see in the Krishna Leela, yesterday we have discussed, all the gopis were there. They were loving Krishna so much and they are very much appreciative of Mother Yashoda's fortunate position. Oh, Yashoda is so fortunate to have Krishna as her child, because all these Vrajavasis love Krishna more than Yashoda, more than their own children. So they were appreciating Yashoda Mai's fortune, not envying Yashoda Mai's fortune. They were appreciating Yashoda Mai's fortune and they were also desiring that if we also get that opportunity to be the mother of Krishna and serve him in various ways, we would also become fortunate. They were thinking like that. Understanding this non-envious, appreciative mentality of all these gopis, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna became the son of all those gopis for one full year. Because when another person is progressing, and if I feel insecure about it, then I will ruin myself only. But if I feel appreciative about that devotee, Krishna will give me also an opportunity to be like that devotee. All the gopis got the opportunity to become the mothers of Krishna because they appreciated Yashoda Mai's position. They did not feel envious of Yashoda Mai's position. So in one's practice also, if one is cultivating this mentality of being non-envious towards the success of other devotees, he can understand Bhagavatam better. So when I am unable to understand Bhagavatam, how do I understand Bhagavatam? Work on the envy. That is one. There are so many things. But according to this verse, Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Right? Next, Prabhupada writes in that same paragraph, sense gratification is the basis of material life. So there are three paths mentioned in the Vedas, karma, jnana and other demigod worship. What is this? Impersonal aspect of absolute truth is not the highest. Trying to approach that impersonal aspect is the jnana process. And then Paramatma meditation, that is the yoga process, right? And there is bhakti process. So Bhagavatam gives information about the absolute truth in his personal feature. Right? Bhagavatam highlights the personal feature of the Lord. Afternoon we will discuss. Vadanti tattva vidastattvam ajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. So there are three features of the absolute truth. The superior most feature is this Bhagavan feature. So Bhagavatam highlights that feature. That's why it is vastavam atra vastu. It gives the actual substance. It doesn't misguide you by presenting a substandard truth about the absolute truth. Right? It gives the highest truth. It propounds the highest truth. Paramo and what is it? Vastavam atra vastu. Shivadam. So, because that Bhagavan feature is the supreme feature and it is the eternal feature of the Lord. For example, in the spiritual world, you don't find a Paramatma meditator. Right? You don't see a yogi who is meditating on Paramatma. You don't see a jnani who is trying to merge into the absolute truth, merge into the impersonal Brahman, sitting in the spiritual world. That you don't see. Karmis definitely one cannot see. Means what? All these jnana marga, yoga marga, karma, ashtanga yoga, all this business is there within the material world only. So the results that they give are also pertaining to the material world. They cannot take you to the ultimate spiritual destination and give you the eternal residence in the spiritual world and then make one eternal servant of Krishna again. Right? These processes are not meant to keep the conditioned soul back in his eternal constitutional position as servant of Krishna. They are giving some substandard realizations of the absolute truth. Right? So Bhagavatam is not misguiding the reader by describing those substandard processes. Even if there is a description of yoga marga or jnana marga, etc., that is only meant to highlight bhakti marga. In teachings of Lord Kapila, we will find all these descriptions. But they are only meant to highlight bhakti yoga. Right? Bhakti yoga is explained. Lord's highest feature, which is Bhagavan feature, that is explained in Bhagavatam. This is vastavam astatra vastu. Shivadam. Shivadam, it is for the welfare of all. So Prabhupada writes there. It is higher than impersonation. Bhagavatam gives information about the absolute truth in his personal feature. It is higher than impersonalistic literatures and higher than the Jnanakanda divisions of the Vedas. It is even higher than the Karmakanda division. Right? Karmakanda division means trying to do some material activities for material gain, heavenly planets, etc. Then it is higher than the Upasanakanda also. Upasanakanda involves some worshipping of demigods and all. So it is beyond that also. So in the Karmakanda, there is competition to reach heavenly planets for better sense gratification. And there is similar competition in the Jnanakanda and Upasanakanda. So in all these processes, there is competition. Right? In Bhakti Yoga, there should not be any competition. A practitioner of Bhakti Yoga, if he is feeling competitive about other practitioners, then one should understand that I am having tendencies of Karmakandic, Jnanakandic, Upasanakandic tendencies. Like that. So Bhakti Yoga practitioner is supposed to be practice this non-envious nature. What to speak of Goloka? Goloka we have just discussed. What is the relationship between Gopis and Srimati Radharani in terms of their service to Krishna? They are not envious. They are encouraging each other. Even in Vaikuntha also, there are so many beautiful flowers. There are so many beautiful birds. Right? Paravatanya dhritasarasa chakravaka datyuha hamsa sukatittir barihinamva kolahalo viramate chiramatra mucheir bhangadipe harikathameva gayamane. There are beautiful birds in the spiritual world. They are appearing beautiful and they can sing very beautifully. But when a bumblebee comes, right, makes some sound and it tries to come, harikatham iva gayamane, it is making a sound that is resembling Krishna katha. It is not even Krishna katha. But still, all these beautiful birds encourage that bumblebee. You glorify Krishna. We will hear. Right? There is no competition. There is no envy there. Prabhupada writes in those purports that there is no envy in the spiritual world. So, non-enviousness is the qualification to understand Bhagavatam. Non-enviousness is the qualification to enter into the spiritual world. So one needs to cultivate that quality. So nothing is apart from that substance, but at the same time the energies are different from the substance. Next, Prabhupada also speaks about Tapatrayon Moolanam in the next paragraph. Development of this transcendental consciousness grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from threefold miseries. So threefold miseries one knows, Adhyatmika, Adhidaivika and other things. It doesn't mean that devotee doesn't have to go through Adhyatmika, Adhidaivika. Right? When there is monsoon, if devotee is walking on the street, doesn't mean that he doesn't become wet. Right? They are Tapatraya, but he doesn't experience them the way a materialistic person experiences. Because he has the right vision coming from the scriptures. He can see them as the will of Krishna. Right? He has that consciousness to handle them. So devotee is fully aware that he is one with the absolute truth and at the same time in the eternal position of servant of the absolute. He is one with the absolute truth and he is also servant of the absolute truth. Devotee is aware of all this. Right? In the material conception, one falsely thinks himself the lord of all his service and therefore he is always troubled by the threefold miseries of life. But as soon as one comes to know his real position as transcendental servant, he at once becomes free from all miseries. Right? One's awareness of being the eternal servant of Krishna relieves him of the miseries. However much one may try to come out of the material miseries by having material solutions, he will not be coming out of the miseries. By trying to develop one's connection with Krishna, trying to act on one's connection with Krishna, which is servant of Krishna, one will be able to come out of the material miseries. That is the solution. So the proper method for receiving transcendental knowledge is to hear it submissively. So Prabhupada is going to the last line. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute, under the guidance of Narada Muni, he has written, Vyasadeva has written, so kim va pare rishvarah sadyo hridi avaridhyate. So if one hears this transcendental message of Bhagavatam from the right source in a submissive attitude, then he will be able to capture Krishna in his heart. Sadyo hridi avaridhyate. Krishna gets captured in one's heart. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. No challenging attitude. So Bhagavatam one has to study in the mood of request, not in the mood of conquest. This is what Gauram Prabhu says often. So the desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. The process is simple. What is the process? Hear Krishna Katha. But application is very difficult. So many things. So the intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So ultimately that is what Bhagavatam can give us. One has to be allured by these promises given by Bhagavatam instead of getting allured by the promises given by this material technology and material world. So by meditating on what all promises that Bhagavatam is making to us, this is what I am going to do to you. Please take shelter of me. Bhagavatam is advertising itself. Right in the beginning, right from the beginning, one has to get attracted by these promises. Right? So these are the different aspects of this verse. So, Sadyo Hridi Avarudhyate Atra. And Chakravarti Pad gives one nice insight. So, Avarudhyate Atra Kritibhi Susrushibhi Tatkshanat. So, Krishna is controlled and captured by devotees who regularly and submissively and attentively hear Bhagavatam. What does that mean? Krishna is captured in the heart only by devotees who have prema. So, by regularly hearing Bhagavatam, one will develop prema and then Lord will be captured in one's heart. So, Chakravarti Pad gives that middle stage. So, by hearing Bhagavatam, Krishna will be captured in my heart. Ishvara sadyo hridi avaridhyate. How does it happen? Because by hearing Bhagavatam, one will develop prema. One will fall in love with Krishna. Right? Then Krishna will fall in love with the devotee. He will come into the heart. He doesn't leave the heart. Basically, Krishna is always there in the heart, in the capacity of super soul. But not everybody realizes that. But when one performs devotional service for a pure devotee, he realizes the presence of the Lord in his heart. But although every soul is having Lord in his heart, there is no realization there. Like that. Ishvaro sadhya hridi avarudhyate atrakritibhi susrushibhi tatkshana. Krishna loves, Krishna is blissful to be captured in the heart of his devotee. He is looking, when will my devotee just capture me, captivate me within his heart. He was looking forward for it. So that is about the second verse. Third verse. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukhamukhadamrutadrava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhurahorasika bhuvibhavuka. So this verse is another beautiful verse that explains how Bhagavatam is the mature, ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. Nigama kalpataror. Nigama means all the Vedas. Kalpataror. Vedas are compared to be like tree. All the scriptures are compared to be desire tree. Nigama kalpataror. And the essence of a tree is its fruit. Galitam phalam. It's a very mature fruit, ripened fruit, sweet fruit, without having a peel, without having a seed also. Right? Semi-solid. You can directly drink it. Yesterday we discussed already some details of this verse. So, Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. So, galitam phalam, that also indicates that that phalam is Raganuga Bhakti. Right? So, by following in the sentiments of gopis, by following in the footsteps of gopis, by following this Raganuga, one will also develop that feelings towards Krishna. Devotional feelings towards Krishna. The best example is all the Shrutichari gopis. They followed in the footsteps of gopis and they also became gopis. So they also served Krishna. Right? So that is Galitam Phalam. That Phalam is Raganuga Bhakti. Next. Sukha Mukhat Amrita Drava Samyutam. It is coming from Sukha. Yesterday I already discussed some details of this verse. I am not repeating that. How it came from Krishna branch to Vyasa branch. Right, all those details we have discussed. I will discuss other details now. So, Sukha Mukhat Amrita Drava Samyutam. So, when a devotee describes the glories of Krishna, the glories become more sweeter. Right, one may directly witness the activities of Krishna and he gets some pleasure. But when a devotee describes that activities, the hearer gets more pleasure than he directly himself witnessing those activities. We have discussed the example of how gopis wanted to give the pleasure of Krishna's stealing pastimes to Mother Yashoda also. In that way, Yashoda relished Krishna's stealing pastimes more than the gopis relished. Gopis witnessed the stealing pastimes of Krishna and Yashoda heard the stealing pastimes of Krishna from gopis who were very affectionately and ecstatically describing Krishna's stealing pastimes. Right? There is more rasa there. There is more ecstasy there. Amrita Drava Samyutam. Here Sukadeva Goswami is describing these pastimes. So Vyasadeva described, right, Narada Muni described, there is some ecstasy there, Brahmaji described. But when Sukadeva Goswami described, that became even more sweeter. And even Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, the Param Guru and Guru of Sukadeva Goswami also, they became attracted by the way Sukadeva Goswami was describing and they were hearing, as if they are hearing for the first time. Right? So that is the effect of a devotee describing Krishna's pastimes. Because he is in love with Krishna, he can glorify his beloved so much, with so much affection and love. That becomes very sweeter. That brings Krishna closer to the hearts of the hearers. That is why Prithumaraj glorifies, Mahattamantar Hridayan Mukhachito Vidhatsva Karnayuta Meshamivaraha. Right? Sa Uttama Shloka Mahan Mukhachito Bhavat Padam Bhoja Sudha Kananila Smritim Punar Vismrita Tattva Vartmanam Kuyogi Namno Vitaratyalam Varehi. Pure devotee always carries the lotus feet of the Lord in his heart. Yesterday also we discussed, I think. So the saffron dust particles emanate from the mouth of that pure devotee. When one hears it, he develops his connection. Right? Lost connection with Krishna. That brings him closer to Krishna. Here Sukadeva Goswami is describing. That is more ecstatic to all the hearers. So, Sukha Mukhat Amrita Drava Samyutam. Now, Pibata. Pibata means you should drink. Right? What is Bhagavatam? Pibata Bhagavatam. You should drink Bhagavatam. Because fruit, this fruit is not to be eaten. It is a semi-solid fruit. You can directly drink it. We have discussed it. So, now Bhagavatam means that which belongs to Bhagavan. Bhagavatam is that which belongs to Bhagavan. So only Bhagavan can give Bhagavatam to his devotees. Others have no right over it. Bhagavan can give Bhagavatam to devotees because Bhagavatam belongs to Bhagavan. So he can give Bhagavatam to devotees, and then devotees, when they describe it, it becomes more sweeter and nectarian. And Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Rasam we will discuss little later. We will discuss Alayam now. Laya means liberation. Any kinds of liberation. There are five kinds of liberation. Salokya, Samipya, Sayujya, Sarishti and Sarupya. There are five kinds of liberation. So Laya means liberation. It can be any of these five liberations. Alayam means Srimad Bhagavatam is going beyond these five liberations also. Bhagavatam is at a stage beyond the five liberations also. There is some service. Right? So Laya can also mean there are eight Ashtasattvika Bhava, right? Ashtasattvika Vikara. The eighth symptom of this Ashtasattvika Vikara is Laya. Right? So Laya means fainting. Fainting in ecstasy. One has to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam, Pibhata Bhagavatam, Rasamalayam. One has to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam till he reaches the eighth stage of Ashtasattvika Vihara, which is Laya. And he has to faint. One has to hear Bhagavatam till he faints. One has to drink Bhagavatam till he faints. He faints. Then he regains consciousness. And then again he hears. Again he faints. So that's how one has to hear Bhagavatam. That's what Chakravartipada explains in that verse. So faint, get up. Faint, get up. Faint, get up. Not in sleep, but in ecstasy. So that's why muhur. Muhur word is used for that only. So pibhata bhagavatam rasam alayam. You faint by hearing bhagavatam. Muhur. You get up again and then again you hear. Muhur. Aho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. Oh, relishers, expert relishers of rasa. When you say rasika, that is not referring to karmis or jnanis or yogis. Rasika is devotees only. Because only rasikas can relish this Bhagavatam. Only devotees can relish this Bhagavatam. They are the bhavukas, not anyone. Like that. So, and pibhata, we already discussed about pibhata. Pibhata means it has to be relished by drinking. Right? So, because it doesn't have any objectionable parts as peel or seed. So, Bhagavatam is such a sublime literature which can surpass all other Vedic literatures, right, by its transcendental qualities. So, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential, Prabhupada writes in the purport. So, regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all rasas. Bhagavatam, rasa part we didn't discuss so far. Pibhata Bhagavatam rasam alayam. What is that rasa? Rasa, there are so many rasas. Krishna is the source of all those rasas. Only through Krishna one can experience all those rasas. So Prabhupada later in his purport he explains the concept of rasa. Right? So there are different rasas, 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. All these are expressed in, explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Krishna is called Akhila Rasamrita Murti Prasmara Ruchiriddha Taraka Pali Kalita Shyama Lalito Radha Prayan Vidhur Jayati. He is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. The very first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu opens with Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas. When Krishna entered this wrestling arena of Kamsa. Mallanam Shanindranam Naravaram Strinam Smaro Murtiman Gopanam Svajano Satam Kshitibhujam Shasta Svapitro Sishu Mrityar Bhojapater Virada Vidusham Tatvam Param Yoginam Vrishninam Paradevateti Vidito Rangam Gatas Sagraja. There are 10 categories of people in the wrestling arena of Kamsa, and all of them are seeing this 10 and a half year old boy and then experiencing different rasas. Mallanam Ashanir, all the mallas means the wrestlers, they are seeing Krishna as a thunderbolt. Mallanam Ashanir, Rinam Naravaram, and all the men are seeing Krishna as the best among men. Right? Mallanam Ashanir, Rinam Naravaram, Strinam Smaro Murtiman, and all the strees and all the ladies, they were seeing that he is Cupid personified. They were experiencing some conjugal rasa. Right? And others are experiencing Bhivatsa rasa and all that. Right? Then Strinam Smaro Murtiman, Gopanam Svajano. Gopanam means all the cowherd boys who came along with Krishna. So there was Sridhama, Sudama, they also came along with Krishna for this wrestling. Krishna was wrestling with the Shala, Koshala, Tota, Kota and all these wrestlers. And then he defeated and killed them. Then his Gopa friends get some doubt. Right? Are you the same person whom I used to wrestle and defeat? Right? So how can you defeat this kind of huge mountain-like wrestlers? Let's wrestle. Then Sridhama, I think Sridhama only wrestles with Krishna and then he defeats Krishna. After Krishna killed Kamsa and Krishna killed all these big wrestlers, one of his Gopa friends defeated him. So with his Gopa friends, Krishna has a different rasa. With wrestlers, he has a different rasa, thunderbolt rasa. So this is Svajano, my own, this is Sakya rasa. Gopanam Svajano Asatam Kshiti Bhujam Shasta Sapitro Swishu. So Asatam Kshiti Bhujam means very wrong rulers, right? Bad rulers. They were seeing Shasta, a chastiser. Shasta Sapitroha Sishu. And their parents, Krishna's parents, were thinking him as our child. They are in Vatsalya mode. Karuna Rasa. Shasta Sapitro Sishu. Mrityur Bhojapater. Bhojapate is Kamsa. He is seeing him as Mrityu. Death personified. Mrityur Bhojapater. Virad Avidusham. Avidusha means unintelligent people. They were seeing him as Virat. Virat Rup. Universal form. Universal form is meant for neophytes and unintelligent people. Right? So, they were perceiving Krishna like that. That is why Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna and Bhagavatam can reveal different meanings to different readers. That's why Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini Murti. Krishna was seen as Virat Rup by all this Avidusha, unintelligent people. So, Bhagavatam can be seen as a mundane book by mundane people also. Because Krishna and Bhagavatam are non-different. Just like Krishna can reveal different rasas to different people, Bhagavatam can also reveal different meanings to different readers. Like that. So Krishna is the personification of all these rasas. So we have discussed the whole verse. Gopanam Sajano Satam Kshitibhujam Shastra Sapitro Vishu Sishu Mrityur Bhojapate Virad Avidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. There are some yogis, they were seeing him as a supreme absolute truth. Tattvam Param. Vrishninam Paradevateti Vidito. Vrishnis, they were seeing Krishna as the supreme worshipable deity. That is their rasa. They are in Dasya rasa. So Krishna can manifest different rasas simultaneously. It's not that when Krishna is seeing his parents, he was like a small child. And when he was seeing some gopis, he was putting some sidelong glances. And when he was seeing Kamsa and other people, he was having different form, manifesting different form. Everybody is seeing the same form. But the feelings churned, the emotions churned in all these seers are different. Like that. So Krishna can reveal different rasas by being in the same form. Right? He did not manifest thunderbolt form to the wrestlers. He was like Krishna, same Gopa only, but these people are seeing thunderbolt in Krishna. Like that, depending on their rasa. Ethamam prapadyande tamsayo bhayamiham. So Krishna can manifest any kind of reciprocation with different people depending on their consciousness. Like that. So he is the Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So one cannot have rasa. Every living entity has the potential to experience some rasa with Krishna. Like this. Right? Rasa can be exchanged amongst the species. Amongst the same species. One cannot exchange the rasa with a dog or cat. Right? One may imagine to be experiencing some rasa with a dog and cat. But the result of that is he will become a dog or cat. Right? Bharat Maharaj, he was experiencing some rasa with deer and he became a deer. That's one example. But he is an exalted personality. But Prabhupada says that by having affection for animals, one will become an animal. There is no rasa there. Right? One may imagine some rasa. Rasa can be experienced among same species. So Krishna is purely spiritual. Spirit soul is spiritual. There is a rasa between Krishna and the living entity. In the conditioned state, that rasa is covered and manifested as rasa with different other people. So these Sriti mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position, which is endowed with a particular type of rasa, to be exchanged with the personality of Godhead. So in the liberated condition, this rasa is manifested. So it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in this literature of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of so many devotees having different rasas with Krishna. We have this whole rasamalayam, Pibata Bhagavatam rasamalayam. This is an abode of all descriptions of rasas, which devotees are experiencing with Krishna. That is mentioned here. Next page. The Vedic fruit which is mature and ripe, Prabhupada writes about this, when the ripe fruit is touched by the, or bitten by the red beak of parrot, its taste is enhanced, its flavor is enhanced. So Sukadeva Goswami, when he spoke, Bhagavatam's flavor is enhanced. So Sukadeva Goswami is compared to a parrot here, not for his ability to recite Bhagavatam exactly as he has heard from Vyasadeva, but for his ability to present this work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. So Sukadeva Goswami was not just repeating the tape recorder. He is not repeating the recording that Vyasadeva. He was not playing the role of a recorder. He is presenting it that can suit the audience there. Right? There are so many categories of audience there. Some yogis were also sitting. Sukadeva Goswami presented in such a way that all of them are satisfied. Right? So that ability was appreciated. So, yeah, we have discussed all major elements of the purport. Next, these three verses are like a prelude to the Bhagavatam. Now we'll enter the main subject matter in the fourth verse. Naimishe nimisha kshetre rishayas saunakadayah satram swargaya lokaya sahasrasamamasata.
Once, in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages headed by the sage Shaunaka assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees.
So all these sages, apparently, which in Chakravartipad says that these sages were attached to Sakama Karma. Their intention is in doing these sacrifices to attain Swarga. That's what that Swarga means. Naimishe, Nimishakshetre, Rishayah Saunakadayah Satram Swargaya, to get Swarga. That is one meaning. But Swargaya can also mean that the Lord who is glorified in Swarga, the Lord who is glorified in the heavenly planets, that is the Supreme Lord. Satram Swargaya Lokaya. So at this holy place called Naimisharanya, so Naimisha Aranya. So Brahmaji once in his mind contemplated on a big circle that can encapsulate the entire universe, and the hub of that circle is falling in Naimisha Kshetra, right? Naimisharanya. So that's a very potential place, very purifying place. So all the sages have assembled there to discuss, to do some sacrifice, right? Sahasra Samamasata, to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice, they have assembled there. So for what? Satram Sargaya Lokaya. So, for the satisfaction of the Lord and His devotees. And these sacrifices are meant to satisfy the Lord. Ignarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. Right? So, sacrifice is actually meant to satisfy the Lord. Otherwise, it will only entangle the person. So, devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of the material existence. So, when someone is doing some activity for the satisfaction of the Lord, that will bring peace and prosperity for everyone. And all these sages were very anxious for the welfare of people in general. Right? They are always thinking about the good of people in general. That's why they were doing some, they tried to do some sacrifice. Right? Next. Ta ekada tu manayaha pratar huta hutagnayaha satkritam sotam asinam paprachur idamadarat.
One day, after finishing their morning duties by burning a sacrificial fire and offering a seat of esteem to Srila Suta Goswami, the great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following matters.
So one day, they offered a seat of respect to Srila Suta Goswami and ask her some questions. So Sutta Goswami is sitting on Vyasasana, and he is given an elevated seat, respect, because he was representing Vyasadeva, the original spiritual preceptor. A representative is one who can exactly present the viewpoint of Sri Vyasadeva. Someone who is a representative of Vyasadeva is supposed to present the intended meaning of Vyasadeva, not concoct something. So in this purport, Prabhupada gives the qualification of a speaker of Bhagavatam and the quality of a hearer of Bhagavatam, or the responsibilities of speaker and hearer he gives in this purport. You see, the Goswamis do not deliver lectures on the Bhagavatam capriciously. Rather, they execute their services most carefully, following their predecessors who delivered the spiritual message unbroken to them. The quality or the responsibility of a Bhagavatam speaker is not just to speak, but to also to render services very carefully and to follow the predecessors and accept the message from them, which is unbroken form, and present that unbroken form of message to people in a way people can accept it. So that is the responsibility of a Bhagavatam speaker. And what is the responsibility of a Bhagavatam hearer? Those who listen to the Bhagavatam may put questions to the speaker in order to elicit the clear meaning, not in a challenging spirit. Right? One must submit questions with a great regard for the speaker and the subject matter. So one should have respect for Bhagavatam, one should have respect for the speaker of Bhagavatam. In that mood one can learn Bhagavatam nicely. So Prabhupada, right in the beginning purports only, he is setting the mood and the consciousness with which one has to study Bhagavatam. And one more point. One must learn the transcendental subject by submissive oral reception from the right sources. From the right source. So the qualifications of Sutta Goswami are mentioned in the next three verses, 6, 7 and 8. Rishaya uchuhu taya khalu puranani setihasani chanagham akhyatanyapyadhitani dharmashastrani anyuta.
The sages said, respected Sutta Goswami, you are completely free from all vices. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them.
So, Tvaya khalu Puranani sa itihasani. So, he is well versed in all Puranas and itihasas like Mahabharata, etc. Then, Akhyatani api adhitani. Right? Akhyatani adhitani. Anagha. First is Anagha. He is free from all vices, he is not sinful. Second is Adhitani, he is well versed in all scriptures. And Akhyatani, he has explained them also. He has study experience, he has speaking experience, and he has a personal life is very clean. Right? Anagha. So these are some qualifications. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, a Goswami must be freed from all vices, right, before he can sit on Vyasasana. So to hear and explain the scriptures is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. So hearing and studying, both are more or less same. But hearing has more effectiveness when you are hearing from an experienced personality. Then speaking and writing, both are more or less same. But speaking is, we need to be more attentive in speaking. One can't be spaced out while speaking. So one has to be more attentive. Writing he can take some gaps, but speaking he cannot take gaps. So that's why Prabhupada is saying that hearing and explaining are more important, although they are equivalent to studying and writing. So hearing is called Shravana and explaining is called Kirtana. These two are very prominent processes. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Like that. So again, Prabhupada emphasizes on the qualification of hearer and speaker. So one verse comes in the 18th chapter. Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano mahattamai kanta parayanasya harerudaram charitam vishuddham susrushatam no vitanotu vidvan. So this one verse explains the quality of a hearer, a speaker and the subject matter. this Suta Goswami, like Naimisharanya sages are telling this to Suta Goswami in the 18th chapter of the first canto. Tanno Bhavanvai Bhagavat Pradhano. This is the qualification of the speaker. What is Suta Goswami's qualification? Bhagavat Pradhano. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the only object of his life. Tanno Bhavanvai Bhagavat Pradhano. And what is the quality of the subject matter? Hare Rudaram Chiritam Vishuddham. The most pure and uncontaminated, magnanimous pastimes of the Lord are the subject matter. Then what is the quality of the hearer? Susrushatam no vitanotu vidvan. Susrushatam. They are very eager to hear and learn the subject matter. So when these three qualifications come together, then that Krishna Katha session is becomes more relishable and enjoyable. Hearer is very inquisitive to learn, and speaker is dedicated to service of the Supreme Lord, and the subject matter is about the Supreme Lord. That's the best combination, and the greatest celebration is happening in an assembly where these three are being happening. Right? That place is the most exciting place in the universe, where the Lord will come and sit. Right? Naham tishtami vaikunte sadhunam hridayeshiva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. When the glorification of Krishna is going on with speaker and hearer with these qualities, that is the best possible combination. Then seventh, yani veda vidam shreshto Bhagavan Badarayana Anyecha Munayas Suta Paravara Vido Viduhum.
Being the eldest Vedantist, O Suta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Godhead, and you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge.
Yani Veda Vidam Shreshto. So you are the best of all learned Vedantists. You know everything. And Bhagavan Badarayana Anyeja Munaya Suta. You know the knowledge of Vyasadeva and other sages also. Right? Then Paravara Vido Viduhu. Para Avara. So you know the knowledge about, you know, physical knowledge and metaphysical knowledge also. Or you know Brahman with and without qualities. Para Avara Vido Viduhu. So means he knows material knowledge and spiritual knowledge also. Right? He knows about this external world. He knows about the spiritual world also. So like that, he is very well-versed in his knowledge. Right? And Prabhupada sets a very high standard for the speaker of Bhagavatam. He knows the six philosophies, Mimamsa and all those philosophies. Like that. So, in the sixth and seventh verses, we have seen some external qualifications of Suta Goswami. Being well-versed in the scripture is not the main qualification. Right? It's an external manifestation of one's qualification. But what is key? How can one reach to that level? Right? It's not the goal also. Right? Being well-versed with the scriptures, and that is not the main object of studying of scriptures. What is more important is a mood of submissiveness, surrender, humility, right? Respect towards one's spiritual authorities. That is the main spiritual quality. That is explained in the 8th verse. Vetattam saumyatat sarvam tatvatas tadanugrahat bhruyusnigdhasya sishyasya guravo guhyam apyuta.
And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them.
Vetattvam somya tat sarvam tatvata tad anugrahat. Because of the anugraha of your spiritual masters, right? Guravo guhyam apyuta. They have revealed to you all the confidential secrets. That is why you know everything. Vetattvam somya tat sarvam. You know all the confidential aspects of Vedic literatures. But why gurus have given you that anugraha and why gurus have given you that confidential knowledge? Because you have these two qualities. Saumya, snigdha. Saumya means simple and pure. Snigdha means submissive and humble. Right? Surrendered. So these are the qualities that will attract the mercy of spiritual authorities, gurus. And they will bestow that mercy upon the disciple, and he will be able to understand the scriptures. understanding of the scriptures will not be possible by one's intelligence. Intelligence is needed, it has its role to play, but it is not the ultimate reason for one to cultivate transcendental knowledge. One needs mercy of spiritual authorities. With the mercy of spiritual authorities, one will be able to understand the scriptures nicely. And how will one get the mercy of spiritual authorities? Saumya, Snigdha. These two are the most important qualities. So one may have scholarship. If that scholarship is not accompanied by surrender and submissiveness, that scholarship will only ruin that person. That will only increase his pride. Right? So if that is accompanied by submissiveness and surrender, then he will be able to realize that knowledge. He will be able to assimilate it. Right? So to the extent one is submissive and surrendered, to that extent he will be able to realize what he is reading. Otherwise, Radhana Swami Maharaj says in one Kartik Yatra that one may quote verses left, right, center, one may have memorized all the verses of the scriptures, one may convince other people also, right? But if he doesn't have this quality of surrender towards his spiritual authorities, he has not understood a single word of the scripture. This is what Maharaj says. So because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all favors. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Right? That is the secret. Only by his satisfaction one can please the personality of Godhead. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. First satisfy the spiritual master or his representative, then one can think of satisfying the Lord. Whether Lord is pleased with me or not, what is the parameter? Whether our spiritual authorities are pleased with me or not. So that is the first checking system. So we have Ramachandra Puri. So he displeased Madhavendra Puri. He became an offender. He developed Mayavadic tendencies. But Ishwar Puri served Madhavendra Puri so nicely. Right? So he developed love of Godhead. He became the spiritual master of Mahaprabhu also. Like that. So it is essential therefore that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Like that. Tatra tatranjasa yushman bhavata yadvinishchitam pumsam ekantatashreyah tannasam situmarhasi.
Please therefore, being blessed with many ears, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general.
So here Sukadeva Goswami, Savanakadi Rishis are asking Suta Goswami the first question. So what is the ultimate good? What is most beneficial for people in general? Right? They are concerned about the welfare of people in general, so they are asking for it. Ekantata Shreyaha. Shreyaha means to which nothing is greater. Ekantata Shreyaha. What is the ultimate and absolute good for people in general? That is their first question. Right? So the Acharyas and Goswamis are always absorbed in the thought of well-being of people in general. Especially spiritual well-being, not material well-being. So they are very much concerned about it. That's what they are asking now. So foreseeing the incompetencies of Kali Yuga people, they are asking, what is the ultimate good for them? That was their question. So, and this Kali Yuga people cannot figure out what is good for them. So you have to figure out and then tell us. Then they will be able to understand. That's why they are asking this question. And before asking the next question, which is the essence of all scriptures, they will explain the inability of Kali Yuga people to understand this essence of scriptures. That is 10th verse. Prayenalpayushasabhya kalavasmin yuge janah mandaha sumanda matayo manda bhagya hipadritah.
O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed.
So, the glorious qualities of Kali Yuga people are these five. Alpa, Ayushaha. Very meager duration of life they have. So, even duration also they don't have. Even in the previous ages, people used to live for 1 lakh years, then 10,000 years, like the 1,000 years. That was their scale. People can go. Prachetas went and did austerities for 10,000 years. They had that much time. And that is their training period, probation period, before they get into proper responsibilities of taking up the kingdom. So they did just 10,000 years austerities. People can just worship, meditate on the Lord for 60,000 years. Then they can do some activity. Like to spare 2 years of training time itself is a big thing now. So 10,000 years of training time they used to spare in those days. So alpayushaha. Then, even if they are not alpayushaha, just for argument's sake, they are alpayusha only. But even if they are not alpayushaha, still the next quality is there. Prayana alpayusha sabhya kalav asmin yuge janaha mandaha. They are very lazy. Even if they have long life, they are lazy fellows. Right? What will they do? Accomplish. Even if they are not lazy, just for assuming that they are not lazy, sumanda matayoho, they are misguided. Even if they are into action and then they want to do something, they don't have proper guidance only. They don't have proper leader to lead them to a right path. Then even if they are not misguided, mandabhagya, unlucky. Even if they got a proper leader, right, who can lead them on a spiritual path, still they are unlucky fellows. Right? They don't have the impetus to perform things properly. Right? Hearing and chanting, they come into connection with the process of hearing and chanting, but they are unable to do hearing and chanting properly. They are mandabhagya, unlucky. And even if they are not mandabhagya, they are able to, they have the impetus to focus on the process, still upadrutaha. They are constantly distracted and disturbed by so many things. Right? So many things keep on disturbing them. Even if one wants to sit and study Bhagavatam, so many distractions will come. So these are the qualities of Kali Yuga people. Prabhupada even more graphically explains them in the purport. So the duration of the life is shortened not because of insufficient food, but irregular habits. Right? In the first paragraph. Overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living. Right? They are like sapping the very vitality of human energy. So people are lazy more in the sense that they are not only materially lazy, they are mainly lazy for spiritual realization. Right? So like that Prabhupada explains. People become victims of different political creeds and parties. That's why they are called mandabhagya, unlucky. So Prabhupada explains all of them. So in Kali Yuga, whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. 11th verse. So because Kali Yuga people have these qualities, they cannot figure out what is the essence of all scriptures. So previously sages said, Vetattvam Samyatat Sarvam, you know all the scriptures. Then Suta Goswami might say, okay, let me recite all the scriptures for you. No, don't recite all scriptures. We can't understand. You should get the essence and then present an overview, present a gist of entire thing. Right? Present the essence of it. Now they say that. Bhurini bhuri karmani srotavyani vibhagashah atas sadhotra yatsaram samudhritya manishaya bruhi bhadraya bhutanam yenatma suprasidati.
There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully satisfied.
So, bhuri bhurini karmani srotavyadini vibhagasya. There are so many different types of scriptures, varieties of scriptures. Why there are varieties of scriptures? Because there are varieties of people. You go to a restaurant, there are thousands of items, menu card. Right? In that there are some 100 items. 100 items? Some rice, dal, sabji, 4 or 5 items. That's fine. But there are hundreds and thousands of items in that menu card because people have different tastes. There are hundreds of scriptures because different people are influenced by different combinations of modes. Somebody has 20% goodness, 40% ignorance, 40% passion. Somebody has 25% ignorance and 48% passion, and then whatever remaining percent is goodness. So that kind of different combinations of modes. People are influenced by different combinations of modes. to satisfy all of them, there should be different kinds of scriptures, different kinds of processes. But atas sadhotra yat saram samudhritya manishaya. So with great intelligence, a personality, a important personality, he will get the saram of all those scriptures. Different scriptures are saying different things. What is the essence of all of that? Bring that and then speak it out. Bhuri bhadraya bhutanam yenatma suprasidati. Speak the essence of scriptures in such a way that the heart can be satisfied, the intelligence can be satisfied, the mind can be satisfied. Right? So yenatma suprasidati. You can remember this concept, atma suprasidati. So for the satisfaction of the people, you should speak the essence of scriptures. So there are many varieties of approaches which are recommended for different types of living beings in different times and different places. That's why there are different scriptures. So 12th verse, they ask the third question. First question is, what is the ultimate good for people in general? Second question is, what is the essence of all scriptures? Now third question. Suta janasi bhadram te bhagavan satvatam patihi devakyam vasudevasya jato yasya chikirshaya.
All blessings upon you, O Suta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudev.
So Suta Goswami, they're asking, may there be blessings upon you. Bhadram te, Suta Janasi Bhadram te. Let there be auspiciousness for you. So for what purpose did Bhagavan Satvatampati appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudev? So why did Krishna appear? That is the third question. So here, these beautiful words with which Krishna is described are explained by the Acharyas. Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi. So one explanation by Chakvartipal. Sat means devotees. Right? Satvan means the possessor of devotees, which is Krishna. Right? Sat, devotees. Satvan, the possessor of devotees. Satvataha means those who possess the Lord by their service. Those who possess Satvan by their service, they are called Satvataha. And Satvatam Pati means those who is one who is the Lord of the devotees. Sat is Lord. Sat is devotee. Then Satvan is Satvan is Lord. And Satvataha is devotee again. Satvatam Pati is Lord again. Right? So with the root word Sat, Lord and devotee are, you know, explained in various ways. That is by Chakvartipad. Now Prabhupada says, Sat means absolute truth. Okay? So, and persons who are servitors of that absolute truth are called Satvatas. So in Lord is Satvatampati. So this is another explanation. So like that, Acharyas have meditated on different names of the Supreme Lord and then gave different meanings, right, for our relishment. So Vasudeva is the symbol of transcendental position wherein the appearance of Supreme Lord takes place. So Vasudeva is a state of consciousness also. In that state of consciousness, Krishna can appear. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Okay. 13th verse. Tanna susrushamananam arhasyanganu varnitum yasyavataro bhutanam kshemayacha bhavayacha.
O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and His incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, Acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them.
So, tannah susrushamananam. Once again the quality of a hearer comes. We are susrushamananam, very eager to hear. Right? We are endeavoring to hear. Arhasi anga anuvarnitam. O Lord, you have the, oh my dear Suta Goswami, you have the ability to describe the Supreme Lord. Anga anuvarnitam, you can describe. So for what? Kshemayacha bhavayacha. Lord incarnates in this world for the kshema and bhava, means for the good and upliftment of people, or for the liberation and prosperity of people. So please describe about that Lord. So the first condition is that audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. And the speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession from recognized Acharya. So one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learning the spiritual art of submissive hearing. Okay. Apanna samsmritam ghoram yannam avivasho grunan tatah sadyo vimuchyeta yadbibheti swayam bhayam.
Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified.
So, after asking three questions, the Saunakadi rishis, they expressed their eagerness to hear in the 13th verse. And now they are glorifying the holy name, and in the next verse they will glorify the devotees. So they are glorifying the holy name now. So, yad bibheti swayambhayam. So, apanna samsritam ghoram yan nama vivaso grunan. Vivaso grunan indicates ajamila kind of people. So, even unconsciously if one chants, that will be beneficial for him. Right? Tatas sadyo vimuchyeta. He will immediately get liberation. Yad bibheti swayambhayam. So, yad bibheti swayambhayam means even fear personified is fearful of the holy name of Krishna. Yesterday we have discussed those two verses. Te deva siddha parigeta pavitra gatha. Then who is entitled for punishment by Yamaraj? That also we discussed. Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavat Gunanamadheyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharana Aravindam. So one who has not taken the holy name of Krishna, such people are entitled for punishment by Yamaraj. If one has taken shelter of the holy name, even unconsciously if he chants the holy name, Yamadutas cannot have influence on him. This they also confirm here. So everything is related to the Lord and everything has its identity in him. It is stated here that the name of Krishna is feared even by the fear personified. This indicates the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So Krishna may be fearful to fear personified. How can name of Krishna be fearful to fear personified? That is because name and Krishna are non-different. Like that. So swayam, yad bibheti swayam bhayam, means bhayam personally, personified bhayam personally is fearful of holy name. So it's like Swayam Bhagavan. So what to speak of death? What to speak of Yamaraja, who is the in charge of death? Everybody is fearful of the holy name.
Yatpada samshaya suta munaya prashamanaya sadya punanchi pasrishta svardhanyapo anusevaya.
O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged usage. Mm-hmm.
So this explains the purifying potency of devotees more than Ganga also. Ganga, if you go and take bath, it is purified. But devotees, they can purify by darshan also. Darshane pavitra kori, eto maragun. Right? So devotees are extremely purifying. And the purpose of going to a holy place is not just to take bath in a holy river or have some holy darshans. That is to meet a holy person and have his association and get more closer to the Lord, right, by that spiritual instruction. So to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of a pure devotee. Prabhupada makes this brilliant statement. Taking shelter of lotus feet of the Lord means taking shelter of devotee. Devotee is the one who connects a person to the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? Next verse, 16th verse.
Kova bhagavatastasya punyasloke dyakarmanah shuddhikamo nusruniyad yashah kalimalapaham.
Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord?
So, finally they say that if one is Shuddhi Kama, if he is feeling, if he is desiring his deliverance or purification, he has to hear glories of the Lord. He has desire for purification, he is not hearing the glories of the Lord. How will that happen? So they are questioning like that. So, because Lord is Punya Slokedya Karmanaha. So the age of Kali is the most condemned age due to its quarrelsome features. Kali Yuga is so saturated with vicious habits that there is a great fight at a slightest misunderstanding. So the leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. The best peace formula that Bhagavatam recommends is hearing Krishna Katha. So this is the peace formula that the leaders of the society have to learn and apply. That's what Prabhupada says. Now we have this beautiful verse from the 10th canto. Iti nandadayo gopa Krishna Rama katham muda kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavavedanam. Vrindavan is filled with calamities. Every now and then some demon comes and creates some disturbance. Right? Suddenly one demon comes and then picks up one person and then eats it and then goes. Right? How insecurities. Anytime any demon can come. Suddenly some demon can come and then pick up the whole land and then throw one's house outside, outside the village. Right? That could also happen. Keshi just comes and then creates a lot of disturbance. Arishtasur comes. He creates a lot of disturbance. Aghasur comes and then tries to devour all the gopas. Right? So like that, so many demons are coming and disturbing Vrindavan. But what kept all the Vrindavan vasis alive? Iti nandadayo gopa Krishna Rama katham muda. They are discussing the activities of Rama and Krishna, Balarama and Krishna, muda, with great satisfaction. Kurvanto ramamanascha, with great bliss and happiness they are discussing about the activities of Krishna and Rama. So what is the result? Navindam bhava vedanam. They are not experiencing any material calamities, although they are in the midst of calamities which are constantly, every day coming. Every day some demon or the other comes. Right? They have to shift from Gokul Mahavan to Vrindavan. So they are changing their residences. Or they are staying there also, staying there only, but experiencing these calamities. But they are not inflicting any suffering upon them because they are absorbed in Krishna Katha. If this is applicable to Vrajavasis, it has to be applicable to everyone. Right? Prabhupada writes in the purport. This comes in the 10th canto, 11th chapter. Right? One of the last purports that Prabhupada has translated. He translated till 13th chapter. This is the 11th chapter last verse. Right? One of the last verses. So Prabhupada says, one has to take inspiration from all these Vrajavasis and discuss Krishna Katha to be relieved from these material miseries. So same thing he is saying here also. Leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing glories of Krishna Katha. Right? If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Last line of the purport. These are the wonderful messages of Prabhupada.
तस्य कर्माण्युदाराणि परिगीतानि सूरिभिः ब्रूहिण श्रद्धधानानां लीलया ददतः कलाः.
His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please therefore speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures He performs in His various incarnations.
So this is the fourth question. Tasya karmani udarani parigitani suribhi. His magnanimous activities are glorified by so many learned people. Right? Buruhina shraddhadhananam lilaya dadatah kalaha. So how He incarnates as Purusha avataras, this explanation is given by Jiva Goswami. So this 17th verse is actually an inquiry about the Purusha avataras of the Lord. Right? Lord's various incarnations in relationship with this material creation. So who are the avatars which are connected with the material creation? Karanodaksaya Vishnu, Garbhodaksaya Vishnu and Kshiradaksaya Vishnu. This is a question about them. Right? So, yeah, Prabhupada gives an example of cinemas. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. So there is real life. Say for example some family life is there or some college life is there. That is replicated in a movie, in a 2-3 hour movie, and then that is like reflection of this real life. But this life is a reflection of that real life. Right? That's what Prabhupada says. Next verse. Fifth question.
Akhya Athakhya Hiharer Dhiman Avatara Katha Shubha लीला विदधतः स्वैरम् ishvarasya atmamayaya.
O wise Suta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers.
So this question is about the Leelavataras of the Lord. Earlier it was Purushavataras, this is about Leelavataras. Multi-incarnations of the Lord. So first there are Purushavataras, creation of material world happens, and the Lord enters that material world in the form of various incarnations. They are Leelavataras. Next, 19th verse.
Vayam tuna vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame yat shrinvatam rasagnanam svadu svadu pade pade.
We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with Him relish hearing of His pastimes at every moment.
Vayantana vitrupyama. We will not be satisfied. However much you speak Krishna Katha, we will not be satisfied. There is no satisfaction. If one thinks that I am satisfied, I have had enough, only when there is a sufficiency of quantity. Second, when there is lack of awareness of its taste. Third, when he is not relishing it. For example, somebody is serving dosa. Right? One person may say that I am satisfied after he has eaten whatever 2, 3, 4, 5 dosas, then pet bhar gaya, then he will say I am satisfied, I don't want any more. Second, lack of awareness of the thing. For example, a South Indian may appreciate it, a North Indian may not be appreciating dosa so much. He is not aware of its taste or whatever. So he may not be feeling that I can't eat anymore. I can't eat. So he may say like that. And some person is actually eating but he is not relishing dosa at all. Right? So he also is satiated. Right? I cannot take it. But these people, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are feeling insufficiency. Vayantuna vitrupyama. We are not yet satisfied. We are not satisfied. We are not satiated in hearing. Because all these exploits of the Lord are present in the form of sound vibration, but they are not directly seeing it. Right? Secondly, they have a lot of appreciation for it. Vayantuna vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame. Then yet shrinvatam rasagnanam. They have the rasagnana. It's not that they are not aware of the taste. They are aware of the taste. Right? They are aware of the taste of Krishna Katha. That's why they are eager to hear. Then svadhu svadhu pade pade. By hearing more and more, their taste for it is increasing. It's not like a chewed sugar cane. After you chew it, and you can't chew it anymore. Pade pade you can't chew it. You have to throw it. But here they are chewing Krishna Katha. They are getting more and more rasa. Right? So that is why they are saying that we are not satisfied. Please continue. Please speak about Krishna Katha. So we are never tired of hearing. Of course, he has not yet started. They are reassuring Suta Goswami that we have a lot of eagerness to hear, so please speak. Like that. So, Prabhupada writes a brilliant point here. Therefore, the narrations of the Lord therefore remain fresh even after repeated readings. One may read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life, yet find in them new light of information. Right? So mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, some patrika, they make that newspaper, newsletter. Right? We have so much information from Goloka that we can publish newspaper every hour. Right? Why you are running a daily newspaper or weekly newspaper? Someone asked like that. He says we can run eternally every hour or every minute also we can release, because there is a lot of information. Like that. Prabhupada says, mundane news is static, transcendental news is dynamic. In so much as spirit is dynamic and matter is static. This is a very important line in the entire purport. So the so-called liberated persons are never satisfied by the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. They don't get satisfaction. Such artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed, and so to relish real pleasure they turn to narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that.
कृतवान् किल कर्माणि सह रामेण केशव अतिमर्त्यानि भगवान् गूढः कपटमानुषः.
लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड अलॉन्ग विथ बलराम प्लेड लाइक अ ह्यूमन बीइंग एंड सो मस्ट ही परफॉर्म्ड मेनी सुपर ह्यूमन एक्ट्स.
सो कृतवान् किल कर्माणि सह रामेण केशव. सो द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कृष्ण डिसेंडेड सह रामेण अलॉन्ग विथ बलराम. ही हैज डन सो मेनी एक्टिविटीज विच आर अतिमर्त्यानि सुपर ह्यूमन एक्टिविटीज. फॉर ए सिक्स डेज ओल्ड इन्फेंट बेबी to kill a 8-mile large demoness, it's really superhuman. A human child cannot do it, right? But for a 1-year-old baby to kill a whirlwind demon, right, who took him 800,000 miles above the ground level, that is also not possible, right? 800,000 miles he went up and Krishna was hanging. Krishna was just playing the role of an infant baby only. So when you lift a baby and then out of fear that baby will catch hold of your hands very tightly. So there, because Trinavarta took him 800,000 miles high, so Krishna was out of fear. He's imitating the nature of an infant baby. Out of fear, he was holding Trinavarta's neck like this, right? He was looking like a blue emerald locket in the neck of Trinavarta. So he was holding like this. Because Krishna was holding like this, that fellow got choked up and then he fell dead, right? And where did he fall? When you go 800,000 miles high, what is the possibility that you will again fall in Vrindavan village only? Right? Right next to all the motherly, elderly gopis who were lamenting for Krishna's, you know, going there. Right? He fell right there. He did not fall, he did not destroy any houses or goshalas there. He fell on a boulder. And all his limbs were dislocated and Krishna was playing on the chest. And chest was not dislocated. Right, chest was like a good playground for Krishna to play on. So Krishna was saved. These are all atimartyani. These are all superhuman activities of Krishna. Atimartyani Bhagavan, gudha kapata manushaha. Kapata manushaha means, this has so many meanings. He is deceptive to human beings. Kapata manushaha. For manishis, he is kapata. Second, how he is deceptive to different human beings? For demoniac people, He is deceptive by not manifesting his powers, by hiding himself. For example, he went to Jarasandha hiding himself as a Brahman. He is deceptive there. Right? And for example, towards the gopis, he played flute and called them for Rasleela in the middle of the night. And when the gopis came there, and he gives some moral instructions. Hey, why did you come here? You should go back. Right? He was giving moral instructions. He is deceptive to gopis there. Like that, he was deceptive to different people. Gudaha kapata manushaha. Like that. But this bewilderment of demons is because of their ignorance, and that bewilderment of devotees is because of their prema. Right? So Lord doesn't actually cheat anyone. It is their own nature that is cheating them. Gopis are getting cheated by their own love. Jarasandha is getting cheated by his own ignorance. Like that. So you cannot say Krishna is kapata manushaha, but you can also say that Krishna is kapata manushaha. Like that. He conceals himself to give some instruction to people. So another superhuman act is lifting Govardhan. Right, 7-year-old baby. What is the possibility that on a little finger he can lift a mountain? So these are all different atimartyani activities. He janma karma cha medivyam evam yovetti tattvatah. Like that. 21st verse.
कलिम आगतमाज्ञाय क्षेत्रेस्मिन् वैष्णवे वयम् आसीना दीर्घसत्रेण कथायां सक्षणा हरेः.
नोइंग वेल दैट द एज ऑफ कलि हैज ऑलरेडी बिगन वी आर असेंबल्ड हियर इन दिस होली प्लेस टू हियर एट ग्रेट लेंथ द ट्रांसेंडेंटल मैसेज ऑफ गॉडहेड and in this way perform sacrifice.
So asina dirghasatrena, our interest in the sacrifice has now become a show only. So someone has given a question about this only. It's coming in the 21st verse. So all these sages have assembled to perform some sacrifice, but they have met Suta Goswami, and before that they were aspiring to attain Swarga. So they try to conduct a sacrifice, they have some inclination towards sakama karma. This is how Chakravartipada explains. After that, they have heard from Romaharshan Sutta some little taste for Krishna Katha developed. Then they have seen Suta Goswami, their inclination towards hearing Krishna Katha deepened, right? Their inclination and appreciation for bhakti process got deepened. And their inclination to perform sacrifice has now become only a show. Right? Asina dirgha satrena kathayam sakshana harehi. So we are no more inclined to perform any sacrifice. And later in the 18th chapter, 19th chapter also they say that our faces have become black. Right? Oh, I don't remember that verse exactly. Okay, our faces have become black because of the sacrifice, because of the smoke of the sacrifice only. But now we are relishing the beautiful transcendental messages from your lotus face. Right? This is giving us more satisfaction than performing the sacrifice. So they have developed devotional inclinations by the association of devotee like Suta Goswami. So, yeah, Prabhupada gives the process of self-realization for Satya Yuga, Trita Yuga and other yugas. But here, one has to hear and chant the holy name and fame and pastimes of the Lord. So regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time. Prabhupada writes in this purport. Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janma Yara. That also Prabhupada writes. Tvam nasandarshito dhatra dustaram nistitirshatam kalim sattvaharam pumsam karnadhara ivarnavam.
We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being.
Mm. So now, they are giving an analogy. They are comparing Suta Goswami, the spiritual master, as a captain of a boat. The boat is the scripture, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. They are comparing him as a captain of boat who can make one cross this material ocean. Another analogy, similar analogy comes in the 11th canto. Rideha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Gurkarna Dharam. And all the scriptural vibrations are the favorable winds, and the spiritual master is the captain, and the boat is the human body. So this kind of comparisons come. When analogies are presented, things become more clear. So they are appreciating that. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. But when there is an expert spiritual master, captain of the ship, people can be taken, people can cross this material ocean easily. Now they ask the sixth question, last question.
Bhuri Yogeshware Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Adhunopete Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha.
Since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for a shelter.
So Bhuri, Bruhi, Yogeshware Krishna. Yogeshware indicates that Krishna has all powers. Brahmanye indicates Krishna's merciful attitude. Dharma Varmani, that indicates Krishna is a protector of Dharma. He is like an armor for Dharma. Armor is there, right? In war they wear. So Krishna is like armor for Dharma. That's why Krishna was glorified in these three ways. Yogeshware, Brahmanye and Dharma Varmani. So Krishna is like Kavacha for Dharma. So now he departed. Where did Dharma take shelter after Krishna's departure? That was their last question. So essentially religion is the prescribed codes enunciated by the Lord. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Right? And he comes to re-establish Dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So he comes to re-establish. So now Krishna departed. Where is Dharma taking shelter from? Answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that will be described in the next two chapters. The answer to these two chapters, these six questions are there in the next two chapters. And of course, many other answers are also there in remaining chapters also. There is a small mistake in this Subodhani. I apologize all of you for that. So it was my mistake only. Page number 42, Q6. shelter of religion is 1.3.43. In the answer colon, you can take it 1.3.43. That is Krishne Swadham Apagate. Somehow that some copy paste work has crept in here. So 42 page in the table, the last colon, Q6 colon, green dabba. So there answer is Srimad Bhagavatam, right? That is 1.3.43. In the overview chart also it just came. But in the overview and the flow it is proper. So that is how the sages have asked 6 questions. First 2 questions are ultimate good of people and essence of all scriptures. Next, about Krishna's appearance as son of Devaki and Vasudeva, and Purushavataras and Leelavataras. And the last question is the shelter of Dharma after Krishna's departure. These are the 6 questions asked by sages. So there are 2 more questions asked by devotees. It is mentioned that Suta Goswami is well versed with all the questions of Vyasa, all the knowledge of Vyasa and other sages. Now in 1.4.13, it is mentioned that he is not well versed with some portions of Vedas. Please explain. So when we say well versed, in the first, to my understanding, the first chapter verse is like a generic statement that is made. But he is well versed in the most essential parts of the Vedas, of the scriptures, and not the finer nuances of everything. Right? One need not be expert in every element, right, to speak Krishna Katha. Tathapi kirtayam yanga yathamati yathashrutam. Kirtim harem swam satkartum giram anyabhida asatim. So one may not be well versed in everything of every scripture, but still he can glorify Krishna with whatever knowledge he has. Right? So otherwise, one's power of speech can remain unchaste, like that. That's why we also study. So our study, there is no end to preparation or study. We keep on studying the same chapter I studied several times. So now I keep studying once again, give class, and then after class continue to study, like that. So study will never end. So he's well versed, he said in the 6th and 7th verses of this chapter in a generic sense, but he is not well versed in detailed portions. Then Prabhuji, from which canto Bhagavatam compiled by Vyasadev begins? Who has compiled first chapter? The very first verse is Vyasavacha. So it is compiled by Vyasadev. He is a Trikalagna. Several devotees asked this question. I spoke one to one. So he is a Trikalagna, and he can envision what's happening in future. Sukadeva Goswami is about to speak like this. He can envision and write also. So Vyasadeva wrote this entire Bhagavatam, and also he was assisted by some disciples also who wrote some verses here and there to have some connecting things. Right? That's what Tattva Sandarbha also explains. So it is compiled by Vyasadeva. There need not be any doubt about it. And So thank you all very much. Natharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.